Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Hello, my lover.
Hello, my lover. How are you doing today then, my lover?
I'm doing very well today in this hot weather. How about you down there in Wales?
My deceased mother used to say that she came from Devon and she was always saying, hello, my lover. And also her mother did as well. Grandma, she was always saying that. Whenever you saw, hello, my lover.
Well, you see, caricatures have to come from somewhere, don't they? I mean...
Very funny.
Do you think if we did the whole show like this, people might decide to switch off? I think they might, mightn't they?
Well, we might get accused of being racist, probably.
Yes.
Almost as bad as doing it in an Indian accent.
Everybody will say, Chris Kelly, my lover, has written in. And Ahmed Bieber's my lover, says this.
That would be very funny, wouldn't it? Right, it's now the middle, almost exactly the middle of June, with 1 week to go until the longest day, and then it's all uphill to Christmas from there. It's show 227. Whateverworks.works is our website, where we'll natter about... We'll put the links into what we're nattering about. I'll try and get it right, shall I? And we'll go from there. AidanBell.com is Aidan's website, and TedSalmon.com is mine. So, you've had a busy 3 weeks, I gather.
I have, but before I say that, I've got to pull you up on this, Ted. A very interesting difference between yourself and my... A very interesting difference between you and me, my lover. I better talk like that. I made more sense. Uphill to Christmas? Downhill, excuse me. Once you reach the zenith of summer, there you are, you see, because the polar bear is looking forward to Christmas. The rest of us are saying, oh, bugger, that's summer gone. It's going to get colder now.
Yeah, as you know, I'm the opposite. We were comparing ideal temperatures in the group this week, and I was looking at what people were saying, and, you know, people were saying that in Spain it's 30-something, and Chris Kelly said that he's okay if it's 25, and I said, well, peak me out at 15. My ideal temperature is nighttime between 5 and 10, and daytime between 10 and 15. So, yes, 21st of December is much better, and also evenings should jolly well be dark.
I can kind of take your point there. What was I going to say? Yeah, I agree with you. The night times, actually, nice and cool in the night is good, but I peak out 25 is my max. If it's in the early 20s, I'm quite comfortable, but once it's gone above 25, so you know, this is why my sister, who lives in Cyprus, never sees me, because I wouldn't be seen dead over there in the summer. Oh dear! Yes, I have been quite busy this week. New agent, quite a bit of business things going on with that. Excuse my phone making strange noises in the background. I'll just put it over there where you won't hear it.
Somebody actually getting you some work.
That would be the day, wouldn't it? And my mother's been a little bit unwell the last week. Nothing to worry about, thank you. She'll be fine. But we've had a lot of fun and games going in and out of A&E and doctors and hither and yon and to this person and that person, and that's been going back and forth. So you quite surprised me yesterday when I sent you a private message saying, sorry, I've dropped the ball a bit this fortnight. I hadn't realised a fortnight had come around so quickly. And you said, 3 weeks, Aidan. I'm sorry that I haven't quite done my Whatever Works homework this show. So as ever, Ted, stalwart Mr. Salmon has provided 95% of the content, and Aidan's just popped in at the last minute with his 5. So thanks as ever for that, Ted.
No worries. It might be a little bit of a shorter show, but never mind. People do tell us that they'd rather have a shorter show than no show at all. So we'll...
last thing to say. Whatever works, well...
Yes, that's it. We're gone. I've been to the bloody hygienist this week, and it's probably 30 years since I've been to a hygienist. I've been to a dentist, obviously, but
we know that,
going to a hygienist, and 30 years ago, They were hacking me about and making it just, it was the whole thing with the hygienist. was unpleasant. And I thought, well, look, 30 years later, it's got to be better now. And to be fair, it was better, but it still was really uncomfortable. They were offering to inject me. I don't want injections. Then they got this water and air thing going on, which is better than scraping and poking about, I suppose. But the whole experience with the hygienist thing, pulling off plaque from your teeth and cleaning them and all that, it's just like, do I really need this?
Seven teeth. What are you whinging about?
Exactly.
What if you've got 32 odd that I sit there with? My goodness.
Well, what was different though was the attitude that, you know, they were clearly customer centric. This is private, of course. Mm-hmm. They were very clearly customer centric, and they were saying that, you know, anytime you want us to stop, or if you're not, and in fact, in the end, about 25 minutes into this, I put my hand up and I said to them, look, I've had enough of this now. I this is enough for me for this appointment. And no, you know, there was no problem with that. They said, yep, that's fine, you know. And they gave me lots of tips about what to do before the next appointment and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so in terms of the attitudinal constructs around them, I think that they have kind of realised that they can't just go hacking about with people and expect everyone to smile sweetly.
Well, they do expect to smile sweetly. That's the point of a dentist, I suppose.
I also went to the optician this week, and I got the all clear from her as well for the diabetes thing, for pouring more scorn on the strategy or the claims last year that I'm diabetic and I should be on metformin or some other crap.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I interrupted you.
Just going back to dentists, I do concur again, and I also go to a private dentist, and again, they're very customer-centric. And want to take good care of you, which they very much do. What I love about being at I also dislike the hygienist. I find it uncomfortable. But I lie there and bear it. I don't whinge like some people do. And but the great thing is at the end, it's like saying I hate working out, but I love the feeling I get after I've been in the gym for an hour. I'm told. I love the feeling when you come out of the hygienist and your mouth is wonderful and clean and your teeth are shiny and new, and you know that's fun for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. When I was at the dentist, he did it for me while I was numb, because he made my whole mouth numb.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about it, and I was really quite shocked at how clean they were afterwards. You're quite right.
I get the spray. You said to me you were offered an injection. I always it's a liquid that you just swill it, you know, you swish it around in your mouth and it all goes numb for half an hour, because I do have I have very sensitive teeth at the orthodontist, at the hygienist.
Why didn't they offer me that then?
I do not know. I don't know, my lover. You're going to have to ask them why they didn't give you that.
Yeah, I want the name of it.
It's a liquid that they put 3 or 4 squirts of it into your mouth and say swish that around for a while, which you do, and then spit it out, and then your mouth is numb for the process.
I can't believe that they didn't offer me that. I'm going to email them and say, why didn't you offer me that? Aidan Bell of this address told me.
Yes, he said, right, shall we move on to feedback?
Yeah. Oh, just to quickly mention that we have started the Camera Creations podcast.
Yes.
On the back of Whatever Works, using Whatever Works infrastructure for that for the time being. And yeah, the first one went down okay. I think we spoke for an hour. There was 4 of us and nattering about cameras and film and digital and all sorts of photography stuff. And yeah, it seems to have gone down reasonably well. So we're going to do another one in 2 weeks' time and see how we get on.
Super, and a very catchy theme tune, I noticed, as well. So,
yeah, well done. The elevator music special.
Yes. No, excellent, said. And another feather in the PodTop UK cap. Good on you, sir.
Yeah.
Here, I bring you a quick bit of feedback. Do you remember the last show I had a niggle because I'd been on the phone to the doctor and I didn't like the idea of you are number one in the queue and then continuing to have to wait until you're number zero? And you quite correctly explained to me that no, number one means you are the first person in the queue, not that you... Well, I just thought I'd throw in that I had caused during the last 2 weeks, it was actually 3 weeks, to phone Polestar with a query about my car. I've got a new car, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned it to you. And Polestar, I started at number whatever it was, 6-5432. And then it said, you are the first caller in the queue. And I thought, you see, there's better grammar for you. It went down, you are caller number 5432, and then you are the first caller in the queue. And I thought, well, then I'm very happy to wait, because you've got better use of English than the doctor's surgery.
And the irony being that this is Polestar's a Chinese company, isn't it?
Swedish, but sold to the Chinese, yes. Well, I'm glad they didn't say it in either Chinese or Swedish. That would have been even worse.
Right, the Daytech freezer door alarm, which was in I Wonder Who Bought It. David Baker piped up and said it was me who bought this, and he left the fridge door open one night the freezer door open one night with obvious ramifications. And he said that he sought this out after that. The units are very easy to fit, and there's a good range of sounds alerting you. I can tell you that it works very well. I could even hear it outside on the louder setting. I chose the 4-minute delay, as I could take a while. I can take a while to put shopping away at times. David is unsighted, by the way. I have not forgotten to close the door since. And I think you're on your better before on light bulbs may be incorrect, as the screw fitting was the original. They're called the Edison screw fit after the very famous inventor. Well, I challenged him on that. I went off to Gemini. I asked Gemini and said, what about this bulb thing? And she said that it's not maybe quite as one would think.
No, I'm going to read out here what you've placed in our recording notes. This is what Gemini said. In the UK, bayonet bulbs were first used before screw bulbs. Bayonet caps, BC, there are two types of bayonet caps, and they were developed in the UK during the 1870s. This design was prevalent in Europe and was improved upon by the Brush Electric Company from the late 1870s onwards. The bayonet mount is still the standard light bulb fitting in the UK today.
Hurrah!
And then we have Edison screw caps, ES. The Edison screw was developed indeed by Thomas Edison and patented in America in 1881 and was licensed in 1909. While popular in America, it became widely adopted in other parts of Europe. In the UK, Edison screw fittings were initially more common for floor or table lamps, while bayonet remained the default for ceiling lights. Yes, it's interesting. When I read that, I thought, yes, that's true. I can concur with that, at least in our house. So, while both designs emerged around the same general period of intense innovation in electric lighting, the bayonet fitting saw earlier and more widespread adoption as a standard in the UK. And confused Ted forever thereafter.
I think the point that I was making really was cutting through the humour, was that in the 1960s, in my lifetime experience, we never saw a screw-in bulb unless you had one maybe for like a cooker hood or something, or something a bit off the... But every light bulb that you ever put into any fitting or ceiling or lamp or anything in the 1960s was a bayonet. I never remember seeing a screw fit anywhere, but you know, that's my life experience.
I agree. I think like the Phillips head screwdriver, it's something that sort of appeared at the end of the 70s into the 80s, and you thought, oh, this is new, this is interesting. Yes.
Anyway, thank you, David, for the feedback on the door alarm, and I'm glad it worked for you, and well done indeed. Paul Lund is next on kitchen sink strainers. We've had a problem with bits of food and other fine debris ending up in the kitchen sink or shower drain. This once caused a blockage under our kitchen sink, and we had to call a plumber. Over the years, we've experimented with various mesh filters or silicone covers to catch this debris so it can be safely disposed of, thus preventing blockages. I see the £12.68 Maple Plentiful Strainer, and lots of other options on Amazon are available. Duncan Robertson jumped in this thread in MeWe saying that they use the Andrew James stainless steel drainers, which are £4.50 and work well. I think in my sink here, my kitchen sink, I got one of those Andrew James-like ones, but also those the Maple Plentiful ones look as though they do a very similar job. And yeah, they're all out there. I don't know why the Maple ones are three times the price of the Andrew James ones. But anyway, it's always a good idea. Because unlike the old days, the hole that goes into your sink is just bigger these days than it used to be. And it's got this kind of indented, big kind of outside hole in it first, and it's designed, I think, for one of these to go in, isn't it? Have you got those?
Do you know what? This is turning into the Aidan Same Here podcast. Yes, indeed. We have a very, very Andrew James-esque plug in our sink in the kitchen as well. So, yes. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Paul. That was a good one because, you know, these sinks getting blocked up is a bad idea. Incidentally, if you can hear trains going by or fans on or dogs barking or people shouting at each other, it's because it's so bloody hot here and I've got the window open and I'm not closing it, so tough titty.
What have you got there? I'm 24.6 in my studio at the moment, which is kind of bearable, not so awful.
Oh, the thingy's on the other side of the room. Hang on a minute.
Okay, well, while you go over to... Oh, go on.
24.
Good. So it's even hotter where I am and I'm not whinging. Right, my lover, you just shut up there and I'll tell you about something else. I went to Tesco this week and bought some new, what do you call it, for the dishwasher. Are they called tablets these days? They're not really tablets anymore. They're sort of plastic things full of gunk that you put into the dishwasher.
Right.
Anyway, I bought some plastic things full of gunk that you push into the dishwasher and I felt compelled to post a picture of them upon the MeWe, as I did, because it said Ultimate Plus. And I just took one look at it and I thought, well, what does that mean? Ultimate Plus? That's an oxymoron if ever I saw one. No, you can't have Ultimate Plus. Ultimate means the absolute ultimate, unbeatable, nothing can be more than it. How can you possibly have Ultimate Plus?
Yeah.
And then I went on with my shopping. I got back off the high horse and continued down aisle 12 and did the rest of my shopping.
It's a thing about absolutes, isn't it? Like saying it's very perfect or whatever.
Well, it's like the use of the word literally. I literally died when I saw that. Well, no, you didn't. You know, and it's just a complete misuse of the word ultimate. Ultimate means absolute, top, there cannot be anything beyond it. Ultimate is the absolute finished goal, finished point. You can't have Ultimate Plus.
I climbed to the top of Everest and then went a bit further.
Yes, exactly.
Have you got any camp coffee in the cupboard?
No, love, I haven't. I haven't had any camp coffee for years. No. What about you? You're right. There will be letters. There'll be so many letters.
Yeah. Simon Bates has got some camp coffee in the cupboard. I haven't got any in, but apparently, according to him, it's still widely available in supermarket shelves, and it's a real kind of blast from the past. I think it started in the Second World War. I think we've talked about this before, when coffee was really hard to come by, and this stuff tastes very much of instant coffee anyway. And he says he started drinking it in between having posh coffee from his machine. It has more chicory as a taste than coffee, he says, but I really like the taste. I don't know how old Simon is, but maybe if he's really old, that might be a bit of nostalgia. I don't know. It's only about £2 a bottle, and much as it might stick in the throat, well, not the coffee, but the idea... over proper coffee. I'm tempted to go and buy a bottle and remember what it tastes like.
Oh, here we go. Me too. Yes, I'm really... do you know what? I remember it, and I'm sure I've drunk it, but I have no recollection whatsoever of what it tastes like or whether I liked it. And I'm with you, especially at £2 a bottle. It's worth a punt, isn't it? Should we both do that for the next show and report back?
Yeah, let's do that. That could be our homework.
Right, we're going to buy camp coffee and let us know in the next show what you thought of it, love. All right. Mm-hmm. Here, Pip Tomlinson, excuse me, brings us the Robo...
Hello, Pip.
Hi, Pip. The Roborock Q-Revo S. Now, what is a Roborock I can't even say it. Roborock Q-Revo S when it's at home? Well, it's a vacuum. It's a vacuum and mop. And it's one of these cunning little automatic vacuums that does it all for you. And you just ignore it and you say, vacuum my house, please. And off it goes. This really does sound like a lot of fun. Pip says, I've been using this vacuum plus mop for a month now, and it's been excellent. I haven't used one of these for many years, and they have come on a lot in that time. It uses LiDAR to scan my apartment using a quick mapping feature on setup. And after that, it goes round on its own whenever I want, vacuuming and mopping. It can do both at the same time or separately, depending on my needs. The app has all sorts of useful functions like designating rooms, setting up schedules and defining no-go zones, etc. This model is also self-emptying. I'd never heard of that before. So it returns to the dock, empties itself into a large container above the dock, and then washes and dries its mops. Oh, how sweet. It's all done automatically. In terms of maintenance, every couple of weeks I clean the brush and contact points, etc., and I empty the dirty water compartment in the dock after each use. You don't have to, but I prefer to do it that way. I run it every other day as a vacuum and as a mop twice a week, and it's kept my apartment nice and clean. It also senses when it finds carpets or rugs and lifts up the mops so that they don't work while it's vacuuming those areas. I got mine here in Spain at a discount of €300 on the Roborock website, but prices elsewhere may differ. I mean, 300 is already a lot and at a discount, but then again, it does sound like an incredible thing. I mean, if it actually cleans efficiently, then my goodness, I mean, I want one of those.
you know what I would be frightened of is stepping on it. But I suppose you could only get it to do what it does while you're not there. But it's a brilliant idea. Why not? A robot vacuum cleaner. Philip Ray also has a Roborock, but it's plumbed directly into the water supply and drain. So he doesn't even need to have to empty the mothership of dirty water either. An even lazier solution. The disadvantage of them is handling multiple floors, which involves manually starting the mop clean and then moving the robot upstairs, then starting a clean sequence. Oh, yeah, of course, if you've got stairs,
yeah.
That's a whole new thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's like the Daleks, isn't it?
You need two.
Yes, you need one on every floor.
Yeah.
Robert McCrowan checked in on MeWe and said, I have the Dream version, that's Dream with an E on the end, Dreamy version, and it's brilliant. It mops the kitchen and bathroom every night and vacs and mops the whole house twice a week. Carpets come up great and it gets right under the beds, etc. Pip is right to say that a box of bags will last you for years. Dreamy are part of the Xiaomi. How do you say it? Xiaomi. Dreamy are part of the Xiaomi group. And the Xiaomi badged version has come right down in price on the Mi store. You can also plumb them in if you want to, as you've just said. Xiaomi do a kit, but I haven't bothered. Oh, this is all beginning to sound like something that I really do want now. And I mean, yeah. Really clever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm particularly impressed now that they've got this new LiDAR technology so that it actually learns your house.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
I still think that I might step on it, though. I wonder if it'll be fast enough to not be stepped on.
Well, have you? I mean, have you ever seen these ones, these huge ones that they sometimes have in supermarkets or restaurants or public places that are cleaning up? And if you stand in front of it, it just sort of stops and looks at you and moves in a different direction.
Yeah.
So I presume the home ones will have something similar. Though perhaps
very,
not quite
very
sufficient.
Clever.
Yeah.
We spoke about a similar idea on the show some long time back with lawnmowers, didn't we? And the clever way in which lawnmowers learn your lawn and same sort of thing, really.
I don't know, and I'm sure I could easily find out if I could be bothered to research, is... Corners, you have a round lawnmower or a round vacuum cleaner, and yet gardens and rooms, particularly rooms, have absolute, 90-degree corners. How does a round vacuum get into the corner of a room? I mean, the absolute, literally, right into the very corner. I'd like to know that.
But you tell me a thought of that.
Yeah.
Xiaomi, Robert McCrown, I reckon he's got shares in Xiaomi. Everything that comes from Xiaomi, which is fair enough, you know, that's fine. And they do make nice stuff, there's no question at all.
Well, Robert, but, yeah, how does it do
I
the corners?
Someone has thought about it, yeah.
I'm curious.
I bet you that, yeah. I wonder who bought Salt of the Earth refillable natural deodorant spray. Really good idea. Instead of keep buying plastic thingies, like we do with some other products, you just get a refillable. And this is for deodorant specifically. 100% natural origin ingredients, vegan friendly, blah, 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 blah. Long-lasting protection. It's... if you buy the first one for, well, £4.50 at the moment, so it should be £6, and you get a 100ml bottle, and then you buy a 1 litre refill, which obviously fills the 100ml bottle up 10 times, and it costs £27 at the moment. So, yeah, your refills are £2.70, and you can get it in a different bunch of flavours and scents and what have you. Flavours? Scents. And and also you can get unscented. But the it's an interesting idea. I wonder, though, how much more expensive it is. I can't remember how much a deodorant spray is and how it compares with £2.70. But anyway, if it's saving the planet, it's a good idea, and well done whoever bought this for doing something in that kind of way.
How long have I been doing this show, Ted? 5, 6, 7 years?
Oh, 2.5 minutes.
Well, this is the first time I can say it was me.
Oh, was it?
It was me. I bought the Salt of the Earth refillable natural deodorant spray, so aren't you glad you said nice things about it?
Tell us all about it, then.
I haven't used it yet.
Oh, right.
I've bought it because I'm going to be visiting a friend who hates spray deodorants and doesn't like any of the aerosol rubbish. So I've bought it and I've put it in my bag, and next time I'm near them, I'll be you. But having said that, I do very much plan that when I have finished using my anti-environmental nasty aerosol spray, I will not be buying any more. I will be moving over to the Salt of the Earth from there onwards.
Right.
So it's in the queue for me to use. So I'm afraid I can't report back on it, other than to say all the things that you just did, that it seems like a very sensible, very responsible purchase to have made. And I had a quick spray of it when I got it, just to see what it was like, and it didn't burn my armpits or smell horrendous or anything like that. Yes.
Did you get the refill?
No, I bought the bottle, as you see in right. the link, if you link to it in the show notes. Yeah, I bought the first bottle, and yeah, indeed, it can be refilled thereafter. So I will certainly feedback. Once I've used it, I'll let you know. I'll give you a report on the state of my armpits in the next show.
Great. Okay, then. Well, thank you to the non-mystery buyer for using my link. That's really kind of you, non-mystery buyer. You can do the same by going to Amazon, and instead of going to Amazon the usual way, go via tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and then anything you buy, I will get a few pennies for. I don't know who has bought the things, but I do know what's been bought, and that's why we can report back into our section, I wonder who bought it. So any help that you can give me is really great, and thank you so much, you lovely people.
I can say with honesty, you're very welcome.
Still using, still using.
I'm still using my saddle stool. Do you remember my saddle stool?
Do you know, I actually don't. When was it? I really don't. All March I can say is saddle. I mean, saddle stool sounds like a condition that horse riders get, but I don't suppose.
Well, it's yes, it is in the shape of a saddle for a horse, which is where it gets its name from. I brought this to Whatever Works 203 in March 24, and it really is ever so good, and it's so much more better, so much more better, so much better for your back than sitting in a chair, because it kind of forces your knees down, and it's almost like a kneeling stool, but it's not quite, and it just encourages you to keep your back straight when you're sitting at whatever you're doing. You can get it in black, camel or grey. I got the camel one, and the camel one looks the most like a kind of tan horse saddle colour to me. And it's really nice. They're now 105 quid, but I think it's really worth it. It's ever so sturdily made. It's really, really solid. It's not. I cannot believe that anyone could break it. You know, you throw it around the room and it would just survive, I think, because the five legs that come out the bottom and the thing that goes up through to the stool, it's just so solid. And with my weight on it, you know, I'm giving it the best test they can get. So thoroughly recommended, and definitely still using it. Yes, there it is, the saddle stool.
Looks very good, and yes, it's a tiny bit dear, but on the other hand, it's good for your health, and you know, your health is worth spending money on. I certainly approve, Ted. Good call, sir.
Right, oh yes, I've got the Amazon Basics Slim Velvet Non-Slip Suit Hangers. Well, you know, coat hangers. Well, the hanger things you put in your wardrobe. And I bought some of these ages ago. They're £9.49 for 30, believe it or not.
Wow.
And you can buy these not in Amazon's, but you can buy. I bought some down at the local what's it shop, the factory shop,
mm-hmm.
And they're much the same, I think. But because they're covered in this kind of velvety stuff, they are non-slip. So you put stuff on it, even if it's something that's got a really big neckline, and it doesn't slip off; it stays on there.
Well, that's good.
And they work really well. You can buy 50 for 18 quid or 100 for 37 quid. And I just think they're really good value. I didn't need any more than 30. In fact, I think I bought 10 at the time. Very, very grippy. And they've got some skirt hanging cutouts too, which is especially handy for me, of course. and recommended, yeah. Cheapest chips for the 30 pack. And I can highly recommend them. I've had them ages and they work beautifully.
And they come in 11 different colours, so something for everyone.
Oh, do they?
They do indeed.
Oh, wow. I got the black ones. Oh, yeah, so
how
they
boring.
Do.
How
well,
boring.
They're very conservative colours, aren't they? There's none of your pink or purple.
No, they're all quite conservative. I'm sure you could find something you like, my lover.
Yeah.
Now, mine, ironically, sort of takes us back a bit to Paul London and his kitchen sink strainers that we just talked about 10 minutes ago, because my cheapest chips this week is a 3-metre-long, flexible feeding tube, cleaning brush, slim drain hole cleaning tube, drain unblocker, wire refrigerator hose, pipe sink snake drain for car, sunroof, aquarium, air conditioner, tube upgraded. I sometimes just get off reading these ridiculous long titles they give them. Basically, it is indeed what they call a snake, a hosepipe snake. It's a long piece of sturdy yet flexible wire, and on the end of it is a tiny wee brush, and it's 3 metres long, and you can stuff it into a hosepipe what's blocked. And obviously that's why I bought it, because out in the garden, at the pond, I've got a pond in the garden, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it.
No.
I've got a hosepipe running underground from the water butt to the pond, and it got blocked. And then this thing did the job. I just sort of rammed it up and down and put some water in and continued ramming up and down. And there was indeed a blockage, which I managed to clear. So, of course, you know, it's a bit annoying because it was £5.09. And you think, oh, I'll finish with it now. I wonder if I could send it back because you use it once and that's it. So, you know, it's slight annoyance. But you think, no, Aidan, you've paid £5 to get your hose unblocked, so stop whinging. So it's gone in the garage where it may never be seen again. But there it is. If you have a blockage in a hose pipe, or I would imagine in a sink as well. I mean, it would probably manage. It probably cope with larger hoses and pipes as well. There it is. A flexible feeding tube. I don't know what they call it. Feeding.
It
I think because you feed it into the hose.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah. But you can. They're showing pictures of it being used in kitchen drain holes. But also, the thing that certainly my dad's fridge suffers with is that hole at the back of the fridge, which gets frozen up all the time. Probably means that he needs a new fridge freezer. But that hole at the back, we're forever trying to work out how to stop the walls of the fridge getting frozen and blah blah blah.
Right.
And apparently, it's all down to that drain thingy at the back, and they're clearly using it for that. So I think it's a good idea. It's a multiple use. It's something to have in the garage, I reckon.
Yes.
Along with your other kind of house general equipment that you can use if you can't get to wherever you need
exactly.
to get to.
That's a good call. Ted, if your dad needs to use it, I mean, for the price of a postage stamp, it's cheaper than £5. I could send it over to you and you can use it and send it back.
Yeah. Lovely.
Ted's top tips, Ted's top tips, Ted's top tips.
If you cry when peeling onions, put a teaspoon in your mouth as the top tip while chopping. Now, I couldn't test this, but many people say it works. The reason I couldn't test it was because I don't cry when I'm peeling onions. I've not got that problem. And also, you can wear contact lenses, apparently. So the stuff that makes you cry with onions must go in through your iris or your pupil or something. If you've got contact lenses on, apparently it doesn't happen. I didn't know that. Did you know?
Well, put a teaspoon in your mouth. How's that going to help your eyes? Maybe they mean put a teaspoon over your eyes while you're chopping. Then you wouldn't be able to see what you're chopping and you'd lose a finger. This is all very bizarre. This is not a very good Ted's top tip, I have to say,
no,
sir.
As Ted's top tips go,
I've heard better.
The other one that I do know that works, because I knew someone that tried it, was cutting your onions underwater.
Yes, I've heard of that.
If you get a washing up bowl and put it all underwater, it works. Anyway, a better tip then, if you like, is the freezing of fruit for the summer. So when it's hot in the summer, it's a really nice little tip, I think. Get some grapes from the supermarket and chuck them in the freezer, and then you can just open the freezer and frozen grapes in the mouth to suck and melt and chew are really, really nice and refreshing. Or any fruit, really. I do this with raspberries too, and you just think, oh, I'm feeling a bit hot. Let's go and get two or three grapes or two or three raspberries. And it's just very refreshing and nice. You know, similar to having a drink, I suppose, but just a bit different. Have you tried that?
I haven't, but I love the idea of it. I think I might I might try that myself, my lover. Thank you for that.
Lovely. That'll be lovely, that. Well,
I really will, I think.
I want one of those.
I tell you what I want. We talked about it a couple of shows ago, and I just wanted to ask you, did I miss any feedback? Do you remember the flaming patio cleaning, the weed killer, that was actually a blowtorch, and people were clearing away weeds by blowing them with fire?
Yeah.
It was in the show a couple of episodes ago, and we did say, can anybody feedback? Because my concern was and still is that if you're treating weeds on your paths and garage driveway and whatever with flame, you're going to scorch the stone.
Yes.
And scorch the
Yes.
driveway. And if that isn't the case, I want to buy one. Did we get any Yeah. feedback from anybody about whether that would be the case or not?
I'm afraid it was a very long introduction to the answer for the answer no.
Okay. Well, I tell you why it was a long introduction, ladies and gentlemen. It's because I could see that Ted was busy playing with the show notes as I was speaking, and I was just filling in dead air, thinking, if I stop now, Ted's going to say, eh, what, who, what are you talking about? OK, so no flaming patio cleaner for Aidan, but what have you prepared for us instead then, Ted?
Well, there might well be a flaming patio cleaner, and I for one think it's a great idea. We haven't had any feedback to say anything about the scorched earth theory, but I still think it's cheap enough for someone like you to have a go at it. And you could be careful with where you use it, and if you could test it on a bit of concrete that no one sees, for example.
Oh yeah.
I think it's a really good idea, and it, as I say, it's not that expensive. I think it was about £18 or something to get set up, and then after that, your outlay, the gas canister thingies are as cheap as chips. So I think you should take one for the team.
I think perhaps, but I would put one final appeal. Forgive me for forgetting who it was what bought it, but can you let us know when you are flaming the weeds around the garage or the pathways, do you damage the path at all?
Good question, and we will expect your attention to the matter, dear listener. Ahmed Bivars is next. Ahmed has found a Japanese-looking website which is highlighting something that he wants. I want one of those, he says.
Yes.
The Hanololo wearable beanbag pillow. The chairs that defined the late 1960s and early 70s come back to life as a kind of oversized vest Yes, you read that right. This is a chair that you can actually wear. The Hanalolo wearable beanbag pillow comes in three sizes, small, medium, large, and can fit children and adults of all sizes. The beanbags are made of 100% polyester and have four openings for your head, arms and lower body. Of course, you can use them like a regular beanbag chair too, but the real fun comes when you put them on. You can just plop down anywhere you like, in your living room, bedroom or garden. Turn every spot in your home to a snug corner with this clever rework of a classic. So how do you... It must have a zip on it, mustn't it? Let's have a look and see if I can find out.
I love this.
There must be a zip.
I mean, if you look at the pictures, it looks like a Mr. Blobby costume. It really does.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, or Teletubbies. I mean... I bet kids love these. I mean, I bet kids could have so much fun putting these on and throwing themselves around the house. I mean, I guess it could be useful as an accident prevention if you're going to go out into a dangerous situation, put your beanbag on.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, sumo wrestling fun when you're wearing this thing.
I put one on my dad so that when he walks to the garage, he doesn't fall over.
Exactly. I mean, old people, they could fall over out in for night. Like, what were those Weebles? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. No, then they wouldn't fall. But yeah, you just want something you could fall over and then just stand. Then again, you might not be able to get up, you know. But no, it looks like a lot of fun. I don't really know how practical it could be, but it certainly looks like a great deal of fun. The sort of, I want one of those, I want one for half an hour to play with and then give it back.
I'd have to watch the video because I don't quite get how you put it on. There must be a zip somewhere that you open it up to get your extremity. Well, unless it elasticates around you. I don't know. Right. Anyway, I'll watch the video. I should have watched the video before now. But, nice idea. And that was our I Want One of Those.
It was.
Whatever.
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 Worked.
I reckon that whatever worked. Whatever worked. Here's the furniture of the show. This was show 77, entitled Tractor Ted, and I put a picture of my Tractor Ted little coin collecting tin. What are they called? Piggy bank thingies. It's great. That's still here. That's still using. And I put a picture in the show notes.
Sorry, can I just interrupt? I remember about this time you had me do a Photoshop for you. You sent me the Tractor Ted, and I had to put you into the tractor. Do you remember that?
You
I
did.
Can't remember what that was
and
for.
And I do still have that, and it wasn't for anything. It was just a whim, and I used it for posting something in the group or something. I can't remember now, but
Tractor Ted, my lover. That's why we're talking like this, you see, because it was all in readiness for this item.
But this is the tin, and I don't know if the tin... I actually found it quite hard to track down. Amazon no longer sell it, but I found it on this site called littlefarmyard.co.uk for £5. And you can, if your name is Ted too, you can get yourself a tin and have fun. Anyway, my real item from whatever worked from March 2019 was the Unold electric egg cooker mini. Now, I don't know who brought this onto the show. It was probably you, wasn't it? I'm not sure. It wasn't me because I got a kind of different version of one of these. But anyway, I can tell you from still using my egg cooker, it works beautifully. This one looks like it's really nicely designed as well. It's got three little slots in the top and a plastic lid.
It steam cooks them, basically, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically. It tucks away in a corner somewhere, out the way, and you can cook your eggs whenever you like. No more saucepans needed and blah-de, blah-de, blah. So whoever it was that bought that or brought it to the show, I was very impressed enough to go and buy one. Not quite the same design, but that's a very nice one. The Unold Eierkocher.
Eierkocher. Is this Deutsch? Is this Deutsch? The Eierkocher. Yeah, egg cooker.
There you go. Eggs.
Well, at the risk of sounding like a stuck record, me too, I also got one. I didn't bring it onto the show, but I did also buy one as a result of the show. And indeed, my mother uses it fairly regularly and has been doing ever since. So it's a still using from Hazel as well.
Good. Thanks.
I remember, I think we were going through an egg phase and we had no end of awful corny egg jokes.
Right.
We cracked a few of those at the time, didn't we?
And, exactly.
and mine, in fact, is also egg-based. It's the Tefal Toast and Egg. It just says Tefal Toast and Egg, I presume maker. This is classic Aiden whatever works. This is a toaster with an egg fryer, poacher, maker on the side, which I never used. We used the toaster fairly regularly and almost never touched the egg thing. It was just a gimmicky thing. And I think this was COVID, wasn't it, 2019? It was a waste of money from my point of view because we never used. I used the egg thing once or twice just to experiment and see if it worked. And I do remember that the egg stuck to it and it didn't really work very well at all. And then we went on using the toaster until we eventually said, this thing is enormous. Why don't we get a nice smaller toaster that doesn't take up half the kitchen because we never use this thing? And I got rid of it. So that's why I remember that. I'm not still using.
This one is still sat in my dad's kitchen. And to be fair, Mum and Dad, when she was here, they used it a lot. And they did use the egg bit of it. And the egg bit of it is actually quite flexible if you start to look at what it can do. You can do fried eggs in it as well, and you can put baked beans in it. So it's basically a little pot that you can put what you like in.
Right.
And it's also got some cutouts for cooking boiled eggs as well. It's actually a very flexible tool, and it works really well. But, yeah, it does get a bit messy if you use it for fried eggs, for example. Or scrambled eggs. Cleaning it is a bit of a problem. But, yeah, that is still in use here.
Then perhaps I jump too quickly, but there you are. That's what I'm like. The anthropomorphization, just about, of AI. I'm sure I've brought this onto the show before, and I know I'm in a minority of one, so there's not much point in me harping on about it much. But I want machines to behave like machines. I want people to behave and talk to me and address me as people, and I want machines to do so as machines. If I say to my Google speaker, wake me up at 2 o'clock, I want it to say, alarm set. I don't want it to say, sure, I've set an alarm for 2 o'clock. What do you mean, I? A computer can't talk about itself in the first person. It's a machine. And not only that, you don't just get human voices. You get this smarmy, sycophantic, sure, have a nice day. I hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. I want machines to be machines, not people. That's all.
You don't with Gemini. You can set it to British English, and she sounds just like Gemma Chan, and it's a delight to talk with her. And my dad loves talking to her, and there's something about it's just so incredibly clever how it works. My dad says to me, "How does it do this? It must be a human being in there." And I said, "No, it's not, Dad. It's a robot. It's a machine." But I think as time goes on, we just have to suck it up. And I've sucked it up already because I refer to Gemini as Gemma Chan. And I always refer to it as her and she. And I don't see a problem with that, really. I know my brain knows it's a robot and it's not a human. But what's the harm in just approaching it as such? And, you know, I'm one of these stupid people that when she gives me the answer, I say thank you.
I think it's entirely subjective, Ted. I couldn't speak a word of criticism against what you've just said. I think that's absolutely fine. It's just, do you vote Republican or Conservative? It's just a mindset. It's just where you want to be. And for me, it probably speaks to my life and the people I know or don't know and friends I have or don't have and the way I see the world. I just prefer to keep my humans and my machines in different compartments is all. So, yeah, it's each to their own, really, each to their own.
Fair enough. Ah.
Oh, that's much better. Yeah. Okay, right, now what have we got?
I'm going to go with synchronized motorcycles with a Z. I asked them about that. Apparently, synchronized with an S was taken, and they had to use a Z. I said, "You're just a bunch of Americans." Anyway, laying that aside, there was a really good motorcycle shop in Abergele called Woods, and they went out of business last year. And there was me thinking, oh, for goodness sake, I've got to travel, I've got to try and get my scooter 10 miles either way to get it serviced and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, these guys, there only appears to be like a few of them. They've bought up the premises, or rented the premises, I guess, and they've set up this little new business called Synchronized Motorcycles. They're trying to buy the Woods stock as they go forward, so there's still loads and loads of motorbikes in there for sale, but I don't think they own them. They've got to build the business in order to buy them or something. Anyway, this is a motorcycle shop in Abergele, which will be of no interest to anyone else, but I'm going to give them a gold star because they've had a go at this, and I went and had my bike serviced there last week. And they are really, really friendly, really nice. They did the service beautifully well. The prices were really good. They festooned me with free coffee and magazines. I thought of you. Magazines on a table. And just really, really nice little setup. I hope they do well, and I hope they stay in business. Not just for me, but because, yeah, shops are going away, and they're having a go at this, and it's a bunch of mates, I think, that have got together to just make good on this closure, and they've done really well. So good luck to them, and I would recommend anyone that is anyone near them to go and use their service.
Hear, hear. Vive la analogue. Obviously, you know, motorcycle servicing is not easy to do online, but what, in an age where everything's going online, then I'm all for that. I'm all for supporting any kind of local, physical, in-store, walk-in, physical human body shop. So, yes, absolutely. Well done, sir.
Ha, hurrah, hurrah. Right, OK, I think we're done now. And we shall be back in 3 weeks or two, depending on you good people and depending on what grasp of reality over time Aidan has.
Yeah, you can tell me it's been 3 weeks and it's actually been two and I won't know any difference anyway.
In the meantime, whateverworks.works is our website, which is also where you'll find at the moment the Camera Creations podcast. AidanBell.com is Aidan's website. TedSalmon.com is my website. And at TedSalmon.com, you'll find links to all the other stuff that I do, which is audio podcasts and MeWe groups and all the rest of it. Blah, blah. You know the score. We'll be back in 2 weeks or 3 weeks' time, depending. So that's about it, really. Last word traditionally goes to you.
Which is just to say I've had a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. And have a good 2 or 3 weeks, everybody, and see you at the next.
So one last thing to say, as always, don't forget...
Whatever works,
my lovers.